Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV are taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 1973, 1978, 1984, 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission of Zondervan. All rights reserved worldwide. Zondervan.com. The NIV and New International Version are trademarks registered in the United States Patent and Trademark Office by Biblica Inc. This week's video is titled The Announcements and Blessings of Jesus. Thank you to Kristen and Dawn for contributing. The scripture reading is Matthew 5, 3-10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day we've been blessed with today. I was just saying to somebody that today is my daughter Kennedy's birthday, and the actual day of her birth, it was a day like today. So I'm being reminded of that wonderful day when I had this anticipatory feeling that I was going to be bringing home a new baby. I was really hoping that the weather would last, but 5 days later it snowed. So this week, apparently we're going to have great weather for the rest of the week. So we're very blessed to have this unseasonably warm time, and I think it makes everybody feel just a little bit happier when we look out. This morning, as we start our service, I'd like to read a familiar prayer to you, but I find that it really spoke to me today, so I wanted to make sure that I shared it with you. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, not so much to be understood as to understand, not so much to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, it is in the pardoning that we are pardoned. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we do have a few announcements this morning. Happy birthday to Gloria. Happy, happy birthday. We have the Great Lakes Christian High School class of 2020. They're celebrating their graduation in a virtual ceremony today. So let's all keep them in our prayers and celebrate with them during this really different time of graduation, but nonetheless celebrating their victories and their accomplishments in education. Congratulations to John. He was recognized by the town of Lincoln as a good citizen. And as we all know, he's been a wonderful brother and a cornerstone of our church for so many years. He is one of those people that quietly goes about and does everything and doesn't look for any accolades or recognition for anything. He is just such a blessing, and it's lovely to know that the community also shares that great appreciation of his love for all of us. And I do have one little announcement here. Barbara and Grant are coming along in their recuperation. Grant has gone to what I would call a step-down unit, so he's improving, so he's not in a more intensive type ward. He's gone down a little bit. He does have an infection, but it's not something that they're concerned about at this time. And the best part of all is he's improving so much that he's been able to use a walker, and not a really big huge support of Walker, but just a little bit more. Like I say, it's a step down. He's improving more and more, and he's getting more and more strength. So we know that our prayers are bolstering him, and they're supporting him. So keep praying, and also pray for Barbara and for the family and everybody that's caregiving, because we all know that how difficult that can be and how tiring that could be, especially when you're trying to heal yourself. So we are praying for you all.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to have you with us. And for those of you who will be watching this on YouTube and different online situations, we're glad that you are tuning in for us as well. And we wish you good health. Thank you for being part of us, even if it's at a distance. This week, as Remembrance Day arrives, we remember that there are people who lived long before us, who never knew us, and yet they lived for us. And maybe that's true of us, to live in such a way that honors God and blesses people for generations to come, to be a blessing for generations to come. And that's a word that you're going to hear me repeated for the next couple of minutes, as we look at what is called the Beatitudes. The beautiful attitude, sometimes is called, of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, is this blessedness that's there. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that today. In these difficult days, we need some good news. And Dallas Willard tells the story of Henry Nouwen, who was a brilliant man, an academic, spent some time at Harvard, spent some time at Yale, and of all things ended up in Montreal and then made his way to Markham, Ontario, Canada, where he served adult people who are challenged in every way, emotionally, intellectually, and physically. He said it was one of the greatest joys of his life to be able to reach out to others. And in Markham, they have where this is called the LARCH Society, started in Montreal, moved to Markham. They had a chapel, and every day Henry Nouwen would get up and give a chapel service. Oh, how I would have loved to have heard that. This brilliant, brilliant mind. And he's preaching to people who are very challenged in every way. In one particular day, as he was getting up to give his homily, a lady by the name of Janet got up from her pew and started to walk toward the front and started waving her hands and saying to Henry Nouwen, this brilliant mind, "Stop, Henry, stop." And he said, "Well, Janet was her name. Janet, what, is everything okay?" She said, "No." And he said, "You seem upset. How can I help you?" And of course, everyone's paying attention. She said, "You've been talking about blessing for a long time. I need a blessing, and I need it now." Everybody kind of fell out laughing and so forth, but not Henry. He got down from the pulpit, and he walked toward Janet. And he said, "Janet, you're right. You need a blessing." And he made the sign of the cross. "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, may God's blessings be upon you." And he turned to walk back. She took one step back, and then she stopped and turned around and said, "Henry, that's not a blessing. I need a good blessing." And now everyone's paying attention. And Henry said, "Oh, Janet, you are right. I'm sorry." He walked toward her, put his arms around her, and said, "Janet, you are a remarkable person of God. You light up our lives. I don't know if you realize it, but you are one of God's special people. May God's blessing be upon you forever." And she said, "Henry, now that's a blessing." And without her knowing or Henry knowing, everyone else in the auditorium stood up and lined up to receive a blessing from Henry Nouwen. Because we all need a blessing. And a blessing isn't just a word. It is a word, obviously, but it carries with it this connotation of God's arms around us. And in these difficult days, we need good news. And more than anything, we need to put our arms around one another, which is not allowed. But it's this understanding of this emotion, this blessing that Jesus brought into the world. More than anything else, it's a happy announcement. I don't know if you've ever read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and I'm sure we've read them many, many times, but I don't know that we've ever really thought of the Beatitudes as something that is so emotional, that it's an announcement more than it's a teaching. That really what Jesus is doing is he's standing up and he's announcing to the people, you are the blessed of God. People who have been put down all of their lives by different groups of people. There were the Pharisees who were separate and kept a distance and were always climbing up Jesus' back saying that he wasn't the Son of God and finding it difficult for him and all his disciples. They were sometimes, I guess somebody called them the spiritual police, walking around everyone's religion and trying to make sure that it was done the way they thought it should be done. And then there were the Sadducees, the people who cared for the temple, didn't care so much necessarily about the people who came to the temple for hurt because they're hurting and they need help. But their job, the Sadducees, was to take care of them, make sure everything was done right at the temple. And then there were the Essenes, the people who lived up in the caves, who loved isolation, and they wrote scrolls. And because of those Essenes, sometimes we have books specifically from the Old Testament that were found in those caves because of the Essenes copying them out. And then there were the Zealots. These were the police of religion in those days, trying to get rid of the Roman Empire. But that's not who Jesus was talking to. And I want you to go with me just for a couple of minutes this morning, maybe looking at this from a different way. That when we read Matthew chapter 5, as Dallas Willard called it, this is what's called scandalous grace. That the broken in this world are the blessed by God. And if you can picture the scene where Jesus has been teaching, crowds have been following, they're wondering what all of this means. And then in chapter 5 it says of the book of Matthew, and when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them saying, blessed. You are blessed. And this isn't the only time that it's spoken of. Later on in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 10, in verse 16, in other passages, I love where it says, Jesus took the children in his arms and he blessed them. Wouldn't you like to have been there to see it and to hear it? And if there's any strength to what I want to say today, it's your imagination. I'd like you to picture being at this scene in Matthew chapter 5, that you're part of the crowd and they were going up onto a hillside and we've been wondering about this Jesus. Some people have been saying, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. And Jesus comes and he stands before the crowd and he says, you are blessed. Blessed are the poor in their spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are people who who don't elevate themselves above anyone else, but they recognize the goodness of God in each other. And blessed are those who mourn. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're always morose and they're always downtrodden, but they mourn with those who mourn. They don't just write it off. There's benefit in feeling each other's pain. There's benefit in coming alongside the brokenhearted. Sometimes it's not just a quick word and then you walk away. It's people who are isolated, who are hurting. And Jesus comes along and doesn't push them aside. He says, the blessed are the mourning. They will be comforted. And blessed are the meek. They're not elevating themselves. They will inherit the earth. These are the people that others will listen to. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the blessings of God to come into their lives. Blessed are the merciful, those who offer forgiveness quickly, without question, those who have the peace about them so the people can come to them and confess and share and move on. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. One of the challenges that personally I've had, being a minister now for quite a few years, is the pursuit of Scripture, which I absolutely love. But sometimes I catch myself, whether I'm learning a new series of teachings or trying to get in and study the book of Matthew or study the book of Amos or whatever it is, looking at all these wonderful books, the books of God. But one of the troubles that I find myself in very, very often is reading books of Scripture and not spending much time with God. Does that make sense? Reading a lot of Scripture, but not talking enough to God. Reading a lot of Scripture, but not talking enough to God. One of the things the Beatitude teaches is that Jesus comes and he blesses the people by his presence. And God blesses us with himself, his presence. And we can do the church services, which I'm glad we do. And we can take communion, which I'm so glad we do. And we can read the Scriptures, which I'm so glad we do. But it's so important to just be in the presence of God. How many of us love when our family comes together? And it certainly is a challenge right now for that to happen, isn't it? But when it does happen, it's just this extra blessing that's come upon us. Now we're with our loved ones and we put our arms around those babies, those children, these brothers and sisters whom we love. It's the coming together. All of this is found in this beatitude. It's not just some kind of intellectual religious thing. It's an understanding of how to live in our world, not only today, but for every day. Whether there's a pandemic or not, here's how we live. So there were the Pharisees who wanted to keep a distance, the Sadducees who cared about the temple, the Essenes who lived in caves, the Zealots who were very strong, but this blessing of Jesus is for all of us. And then, beginning in verse 13 of Matthew 5, he says to us, and I think based on everything that he's just said, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, and so forth and so forth. He says in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if that salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown up and trampled by men. You are the people. You are the light of the world. You are the people of the world, the light of the world. It's not just an expression. It's you demonstrate light with people. You demonstrate goodness with people. They recognize this. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things are good, but they're just words. They're just words. But when we become love and joy and peace and patient and kind and good and faithful, people see that. And they know the authenticity of the heart. May I say to all of us today, and especially to all of you who are seated here, may I say to you what Henry Nouwen said to Janet: you are a blessing. Amen.
Morning. So off and on through most of my career, I've worked at building stuff. I started in college on a co-op. I framed houses in Kitchener, and I've worked on my own house, and I've built stuff for other people, which some of you may know. I worked on Ed and Rhonda's back porch and in their kitchen and did some renovations there. And ideally, when you're building stuff, you follow the blueprint exactly, and reality never interferes, and everything is perfect forever and ever. And then there's what actually happens, which is, well, not that. One of the things that somebody told me at one point was, every trade's job is to cover up the mistakes that the trade before them made. So, for example, if the framer doesn't space the studs properly or put blocking in the corners, say, maybe check out my downstairs bathroom for an example of this. Then the drywall boarder has to come around afterwards and deal with that, and that makes his job harder. And then when the drywall boarder doesn't know what he's doing, there are weird gaps and things don't quite fit. And then the taper has to come along and cover that up as best she can. And if you've ever wondered why you're walking around your house, you look up and there's a weird bump somewhere, that's why. Somebody made a mistake, and it looks like a pointless bump, but it's covering up something that somebody put in the wrong place. So these mistakes are cumulative. So as you make a mistake and then you cover it up, that leads to more mistakes, and then you have to cover those up too. And it takes more and more work for each of the trades that comes after to cover up the stuff that went before. So by the time you get to the painter at the end, they're filling in, you know, where the trim doesn't quite fit. They have to figure out what to do there. They have to put some sealant or something in there. Or say they have to patch where the plumber hit the wall with a sink or something. And in my own work, since I'm usually the next trade as well as the trade before, I don't have anybody to blame but myself. And sometimes my brothers-in-law. But then it's kind of on me when I'm covering up what the idiot drywaller did. So you can probably see where I'm going with this. If your foundation is no good, everything is going to be off kilter. And the best case scenario you're going to have is it's, you know, sitting like this instead of like this, or it's sitting like this instead of like this. I should point out that we paid somebody who knew what they were doing to do the foundation for Ed and Rhonda's back porch. So it'll be fine. But it's going to be a lot of work if you don't get the foundation set right. So from Matthew 7, Jesus talks about listening to what he says and building your life on it. Like, you know, build your life on the Lord. But there's more than that. In Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about building with care. In verses 10 to 14, he writes, By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. So there's the foundation of Jesus, and assuming we pick that, we can't break it. It's too, like, strong and foundational and Jesus. But we also are building what's on top of that foundation. That's kind of on each of us. There is a Keith Green song called Unless the Lord Builds the House, and it was way too 1980 and funky, and I know what, but the lyrics are great, and he presents a challenge, which is, what are you building? What is your blueprint? Are you really following God's plan, or are you just writing your own thing and following that and pretending like it's God's plan? Are you even looking for what God has in mind? What errors are you making that you're going to have to come back later and try to cover up? So we have this time to remember our foundation, but to consider what we're choosing to put on top of it. You know, our relationships, our lives, our congregation, which is also relationships. In Ephesians 2:19-20, we're given something to strive for. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I'm going to have a single prayer for both the bread and the cup this morning. So please bow with me. Thank you, Lord, for our foundation of Jesus. His sacrifice brings us together, and we remember and celebrate him now. We ask you give us open ears to listen for your plan in our lives, and open eyes to follow where you're leading, and humble hearts to get our own ideas and pride out of the way, and to truly seek what you would have us do. Amen.
Without getting into politics too much, I watched a video yesterday of a journalist named Van Jones. And his words went right to my heart, and I'll probably choke up. But he talked about the hope that he now feels, that there's a resetting, that there's a chance, that there is a relief. And as cliche as it sounds, that's what we have with Christ. We have this resetting, this release, and this relief. We get another chance. And as we go into the world's a little different today. And the world is going to be a little different the next day. And we always need to pray for those in power, pray for those underneath power, and pray for those who are struggling with relationships. It's all about renewal and relationships and getting new chances. And we are so thankful that Jesus gave us our chance. We get to set this right. So as we go out into the world today, I'm going to offer this prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for your grace and forgiveness. Without it, we are lost. Please be with us as we leave this place today. Help us to reflect your light. Help us to give of ourselves. Help us to see the blessings we have and to acknowledge that all good things come through you. Help us to show forgiveness, to be peaceful and compassionate. Open our eyes to you, Show us your presence. Help us to come into your presence and spend time with you. Help us to seek you when we are lost. Renew our strength when we grow disappointed in our struggles. Help us to lean on the promise of a life forever with you. Fill the gaps in our lives. Show us how to build our lives on your foundation. Help us to see the blueprint for our lives. Strip us down to where we can start to be like you. Help us to turn off the static and noise of our own voice and tune into your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. You can find out more about the congregation and get in touch by visiting beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca or our Facebook page.